हरिः
ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः अव्यय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
जय। Okay, so then starting now with the Bhakti Sandarbha. So that is the Sandarbha on Prayojana. Abhideya. So we finished the four on Sambandha. So you can feel we've done four, so there's two left. Of course, these two are bigger than the other ones, but they're also will be a bit more familiar. These technical points may be a little bit extra, but the concepts and all those kind of things will generally be more familiar because we're generally used to Prabhupada's talking on these things or nectar devotion, like these kind of aspects like that. You know, the acharyas generally, the works of the acharyas that have been, you know, appreciated a lot in the last few years, you know, have been like that. So we should find that it'll be more familiar. And that's just like Chaitanya Charitamrita went through quickly because we're more familiar with it. Does that make sense? Okay. So introduction. Srila Prabhupada, while introducing the six Sandarbhas in Chaitanya Charitamrita, presents the following about Bhakti Sandarbha. The fifth Sandarbha is called Bhakti Sandarbha. And in this book, there's a discussion of how devotional service can be directly executed and how such service can be adjusted, either directly or indirectly. Right? So this aspect of direct devotional service is what you have to know about. That's what should be known. Means that if you're serious, then you know the direct. But at the same time is how that can be adjusted so they can be directly and indirectly applied. Right? Because direct means you just sit down, you're chanting, you're absorbed in Krishna and these kind of aspects. Indirect means then you're going to be able to connect your conditioning to Krishna. Right? If there's a need. Right? So the Sandarbhas are such that it has that wide range from a neophyte up to a Paramahamsa. You know, all the Acharya's works are like that. So then everybody can get something from that. Is that okay? Yeah. So here then the indirect will be how we're taking something of our conditioning connecting to Krishna. You know, it's just like our house, our money, our facilities, our, you know, the particular nature we have, the conditioned nature. All these different things, those are the indirect. Because direct means it directly connects to Krishna. Indirect means it's through something to connect to Krishna. If you're chanting the holy name, it's directly Krishna. Right? You're driving your car to go to the temple, that's indirect. Right? Because it's you, then the vehicle, then the temple. Does that make sense? Because you could start driving and see something and drive off, you know, oh, there's a sale, you know, gone, you know, like that part. Does that make sense? Yeah.
We just came from Israel, so there's a GPS navigator.
Right, right.
So we always use it because so many new roads and things.
Right, right.
So when you make the GPS from point A to point B, then while driving, he actually sends you a message. Or you just go 500 meters on the left side, there's a sale on shoes. Then,
oh, this is demoniac.
Yeah, then you ignore that. Then there's 800 meters, right side, McDonald's. Why don't you stop and have some snack there? And it's like bombarding you constantly. And it's actually distracting from driving. So this is how these guys make money.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people also, actually go.
Yeah.
They also offer you, if you want, you can pick up this guy for, you know, 20 shekels, like five.
He's like an Uber.
Yeah, you can make some money on the
Uber
way.
Uber is not allowed in Israel, so you can be an Uber. You know, you go to, before you go to McDonald's, make some money, and then you go. You know,
then I see. Drop the guy off, then go to McDonald's. Okay.
Yeah, then you
can
say how much is it.
Oh, that's it. It'll be this much. Okay, but it's worthwhile. Does, if you go along, do they ever tell you, do they also tell you that there's a jam here or go around?
Yes, yes.
They also tell you.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, that's what it's made for.
That's why you pay for it. And that, then all these others, how they get others to pay for it. Huh? Okay. There is a discussion of the knowledge of all kinds of scripture, the establishment of the Vedic institution of Varnashram, bhakti is superior to fruit of activity, and so forth, right? Because all kinds of scripture, because the 14 books are all kinds of scripture, right? So Paravidhi will be the transcendental, so that's one. The other 13 will be apara. So in other words, para is direct, apara is indirect. So therefore, it's showing you how to connect that all, because this is the most important thing. Because otherwise, what happens is that you may be nicely engaged by following a combination of the direct and indirect, but if you don't know the principle of direct, you'll think the indirect is the real thing. Does that make sense? So therefore then, because Prabhupada mentions, religion is what's God made, right? So that means, you need a blanket or anything?
No.
Okay, this is only one small problem with round pillows when you sit on them. Srila Prabhupada mentioned you can get a boil in your bum. And I have directly seen it work.
Really?
Yeah, means just put that in front and then turn that a little bit more sideways so it'll go against the back. Like, yeah. And then if you turn it a little bit, then it'll get more straight. And then you get,
new place.
Yeah, you have to work out all the things.
Old age, new place, everything together.
Yes.
I would like to know
more about she writes on the phone the notes. Will it distract you?
No. Like that. So therefore, The 14 books are described, the Vedic institutions of Varnashram are described, because otherwise how do you know how the indirect works? Right? Because you say only if you sit down in the temple and chant your japa all in one shot, that's Krishna conscious. Okay, that's ideal. That would be an ideal situation, but some people don't have that opportunity, like the pujaris. They can't sit down there during japa time, they're in the deity world. Does that make sense? So then people will say, oh, these guys aren't Krishna conscious, or unless you do this, or unless you... So they're taking secondary aspects, not the japa, but the idea that you're sitting in one time, so there's focus, because when you think like that, there's focus, there's direction, there's that, that's the aspects of yoga. Those will all be indirect, and they're about the mind and all, and the body. You have to be able to sit there. Like, I've seen some people, you're walking. Oh, that's not, you can't be having serious japa only if you sit. But then sitting is great for anybody who has a constitution other than vata. Right? Vata, when they move, their mind is peaceful. When they sit, the mind's not necessarily. Well, especially kapha, when they sit, they're great. When they move, then it's like, what's happening? Too much information. Like that. So that's the thing. These are all secondary aspects. So you find what's suitable for you. That's why you have to know the primary. Then you give the secondary so that you can adjust it for what you know. And if you don't know how to adjust it, you're too new. That's why you have the temple leaders and community leaders to give you an idea how to do that, or senior family members or somebody. Is that... Yeah. It is also stated that without devotional service, even a brahmana is condemned. Right? So just because he has such a good birth, good everything, but it's still condemned. Because it's condemned because condemned means it's temporary. It stays in the material world. So even a brahmana, he does everything perfectly, he'll still stay in the material world. Only if he connects his Brahman position to Krishna, that will take him out. But that's the whole point. Brahman is an ideal position, but until it connects to Krishna, it doesn't become transcendental. So that's very important. Otherwise we take it, you know, the birth of this, the that, you know, as we see is that people get very, very much influenced by your material, how do you say, perspective. Because we've been doing it since time immemorial. Therefore, anyone with any of the opulent, anything, that's ideal. You know, someone is a good birth, it's better for devotional service. He has money, he's a better devotee. He has more power, it's a better devotee. He's a professional, he's a better devotee. He has a higher degree, he's a better devotee. He has more knowledge, he's a better devotee. But it's actually, no, you're a better devotee because you're a better devotee. You're engaged in devotional service, that makes you better. Does that make sense? Just like Duryodhana is not an unintelligent person on the material platform. You know, top family he's born in, you know, his intelligence, his wealth, his everything. He's top of the line in all this. You know? You see when he gets in, you know, gets insulted by when the Gandharvas then took them all away and all of them together couldn't protect themselves against the Gandharvas. Arjuna comes alone, defeats them and brings them back. So he just sits down and that's it. I'm just sitting here in the forest and then meditating and that's it. I'm not even going back. So you see, he has that side on the material platform to be. Right? So, but without devotional service, it's useless. So that's why all these good things are useful, if they're useful. But they don't stand on their own as good. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. Just like, let's say I have a chunk of aluminum. Okay, great. You make it into a pot, now it's useful. Right? Or something else. You know? Does that make sense? But on its own, it's not that it's ideal. Does that make sense? So that's the thing is, we take it, though, no, this is valuable on its own. But it only becomes valuable once it connects to Krishna. If it's not connected to Krishna, technically it's not actually valuable. So this is the thing that needs to be gained. We can see as Prabhupada's talking about it here. That's why he's discussing direct devotional service. Then he's discussing how indirectly you can connect everything to Krishna. Everything is Krishna. But you have to know is that there's the levels of I'm dealing with whatever I'm dealing with, but it's not done according to Krishna's laws. So that'll be Vidharma, right? So it won't get you materially anything, right? Because it's impious. Then Dharma is I'm dealing with Krishna's laws in the material world, and I'm able to engage everything according to the law, right? So in that way, it's better. But it's still only on the material platform, because you're only looking for the benefit that you're going to get. You know, and you're avoiding the other because you know I don't get benefit. I do sinful things, I get reactions. I do pious things, I get good results on the material platform. So dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? So, but by engaging according to the law, you get purified, you're elevated. You're going forward on the path towards Krishna, but you don't have the goal on Krishna, you only get a certain degree. Distance. You know, it'd be just like, let's say the kids are playing, right? And, you know, somebody, you know, they're playing with the ball and it bounces and goes towards the deities, right? So the kid sees the ball, he's running towards the deities. So running towards the deity is a good thing, you know, but it's about devotion to the deity. But he only runs up to the point, catches the ball, and then runs out again. So that's what's happening in Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha is people are following God's laws, but only up to the point where they get the Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Once they get there, they stop. That's why it's not called bhakti. Right? Then when that's engaged in Krishna's service, then it becomes bhakti. Right? So now in here is that we have to see is the indirect. There's the direct and indirect. So why make such a big distinction? Because technically, you know, through the indirect, I'm performing my service. So why make a distinction? That's fine. That's great. That is a good point. But the thing is what's our motive?
Prema.
Yeah. So if prema is there, you want to please Krishna, then you're going to get that direct, that's the direct part. That will take you to prema. The indirect part will take you up to the edge of the material world. So in other words, it brings you up to what Mahakalapura and stops. To go beyond that, you have to have actual devotion. That's why people within the Varnashram Siddha following, you know, Bhakti Mr. Karma or like this, that they, with bhakti, they worship the Lord, they do the things with sincerity and all that, up to the point they get what they want, they stop. Because it's Bhakti Mr. Karma. Right? It's about the karma, but they mix bhakti, otherwise it doesn't work. So it's a very important thing, is that engaging the indirect in the Lord's service will liberate you from the material world, but it will not give you bhakti. It can't. Only that attraction for Krishna, that desire to please Krishna, that will give, that immature, as it matures, gives you bhakti. Hence, without understanding the direct, you actually cannot understand the indirect. That's why the descending process is the only process to actually connect to Krishna. Right? If you use the indirect, problem is you're means that ascending, you're working with the indirect. But you may at any time, you know, 500 meters this way, you know, then, you know, there's a sail on shoes, you know, like that. So that's the problem. You can get distracted. Bhakti, you know what it is, you get, but you continue that, you know that's the thing. Then you get distracted, it goes back to that thing. But if you're working on the secondary, there's a problem in the secondary, you're finished. Like that. Something says, you know. So that's the difficulty that comes up with this, that one has to be able to tell. That's why the Bhagavatam, first shloka, being able to tell truth, true means what is it? Truth from. Yeah, no, that's the second. But I'm saying the first one, it gives two things about reality and what's real and what's not, or what's truth and what's not truth, or the certain words. Yes, yes.
So that's absolute truth.
Yeah, so what's the absolute truth and what's not? Everything's Krishna. But you have to know, as dealing with everything that's Krishna, that there's a limit to dealing with that everything, unless it's connected to direct bhakti. Does that make sense? So therefore then, we see that there's not so much difference made between the big jnanis, you know, and the shanta bhaktas, because they're both using the same field. The jnanis, they see everything in connection with Brahman, you know, or even with Paramatma. You know, I think it's on, what is it? Tapa? No, not Tapa. Yeah, Tapa. Yeah, you have yogis there and all these, like that. So they all see it in connection with the Supreme. But it's not about the Supreme, it's about liberation for them. You know, or if they're karmi, they see everything connected to Krishna, but it's about the benefits they'll get from it. Does that make sense? So it's a very important point that, you know, if we can gain this from our studies, then we'll see Prabhupada's always talking about, the acharyas are always talking about this. And that then removes the things, well, Prabhupada said this, well, you know, he said we can do this. But it's in the context of the indirect with the direct. But we're taking the indirect is the direct. And that's why we'll get confused. You know, like in a letter, Prabhupada will say something, and it's about applying the direct to the indirect situation. But we'll take it. Yes, it does apply if that's the situation you're in. But if you're not, it doesn't apply like that. But the principle always has to be set there. And they just like to do any one thing. There's many ways. You want a second pillow? Does that make it easier?
No.
Just stack them up?
Yeah. This is... I just have to adjust.
No, but there's more pillows.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
Sure? Okay.
Yeah. It's an interesting phenomenon, Maharaj, is that, like you mentioned, in the yogis and the jnanis, although their goal is moksha, mm-hmm. means beyond metta, mm-hmm. But the meditation on the Lord is the Lord connected to the universe. Yes. He's not that Lord who is independent.
Yes.
So
that's a very good
So it's an interesting phenomenon. Although the goal is beyond, that they're meditating on the deity who is connected to the method, which is Brahman and Paramatma. They don't meditate on Bhagavan as such.
Mm. Yeah, very good. Very nice, yeah. So how can they get beyond matter if they're only thinking of the Lord in context of that? Because Krishna is everything. There isn't anything other than Him. Yeah. That's why it says He doesn't own anything. You know, so Rukmini is mentioning, because Krishna is making the point, I don't have anything. I'm not, you know, I'm not wealthy and all that, like, you know, these other great kings and all that you left and then married me, you know. So you say, you don't, like that. And then Rukmini, after fainting, Then she makes the point that everything is you, so you don't own anything because it's you. At the same time as everything being you is yours, so you're the richest. So you could say both, you have nothing. He's the most renounced, but at the same time as he has everything. Is that? Yeah, so yeah, these points are so... So if you see it that it's about Krishna, then when you're driving to the temple. So then that's the point where the indirect and direct don't make any difference. Like in the spiritual world, you don't make a difference. You don't have to make the distinction because Mother Jashoda cooking for Krishna is direct because it's just about pleasing Him. Because it's not on the pots. It's on pleasing Krishna, and so therefore she wants to make this preparation to offer to Krishna. Therefore, there's this technique with these ingredients. So it's just one thing for them. But for us, because we identify with the gross and subtle bodies, therefore we do make a distinction. And so devotees make less of a distinction when they're dealing with the direct, you know. But sometimes you see they get distracted there also. So it's just Jiva Goswami is pointing out so we don't get distracted. You know, when that little message comes up, you don't go off to the left or the right.
It's actually mind control. Because it's very, you know, the way how they present it, it's very tempting.
Yeah.
And you think, yeah, just 5 minutes and then you're gone. Like you won't reach your destination, actually.
Because when you're driving then from that one to your destination, there's something else.
Yeah.
So you could just eternally never get there.
So they know how to catch your mind, but if you like Ekeha, I never went because it's not.
But does it come up at a certain place?
Yeah, near. When you pass.
No, but I'm saying on the screen it comes at a certain place?
Yeah.
Okay, but you could always put a piece of tape over that or something.
They're smart.
Huh?
Yeah, they're smart. They manipulate your screen.
Then when they see that everything... No.
Yes.
And then you're dead.
Yeah, they can do that.
Oh, really? They can?
Yeah, of course.
Huh? Wow. So that means they must also hear your conversation. So as soon as they say, wow, I'm feeling... You feel hungry? And then pops up. So whatever you're talking about...
That's what they say about Alexa. That one that, you know, Alexa, turn on the lights.
Yeah.
They do that. They say that's the
spy machine. You bring a spy inside your house, you install it, you pay money for it, and then you
pay for the spy.
But that is connected to Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Also, Maharaj, I think the phone calls which you make, if you give an access for the internet, they do see it. Because whenever I talk on phone, suddenly those things appear on my...
Yeah. I've even just had it. My phone's here. I'm not using the phone. And as soon as you open it, then those things are there.
Yeah, because we might have talked on phone 3 years ago.
No. It's just that you made me talk. I'm just saying, when you talk about it, it comes up.
Yeah.
So it's
on. If the phone is on.
Yeah, listen.
They're not listening as such. They're just the keywords.
It's a system. It's a robot.
Yeah.
That's what they accuse the KGB and CIA about. Because they're not really listening to all the conversations.
It's just certain words.
Yeah, but the keywords in Israel is like terrorism and all this. Then they fraud. Otherwise they won't.
Otherwise they send messages. And if you talk serious stuff, they come.
Oh, that's good. I'm getting tired. Okay. After, yeah, there's no clocks, so you have to remember. Okay. Okay. Sorry? Yes, yes. It's especially when you connect to the eternal, then you don't know. So that's the thing. Everything is Krishna. So therefore, everything can be connected to Krishna. And now, what's the reason for connecting to Krishna? If it's connecting to please Him, then the part that you're connecting something to Krishna, that purifies you, and that is for pleasing Krishna, that brings you to prema. They're both in the same direction. It's just how far. So they're not opposing to each other. That's why the indirect and the direct are not opposing to each other. The indirect can only take you up to the point of liberation. Right? But that direct aspect that you're doing it to please Krishna, that will get you there. That's why you see is that, let's say we have all kinds of pious people, you know, who are following the Vedic culture or any religious process, that they're, you see they're very religious, they're following all the different things nicely, but they will not get beyond the material sphere. They may become very elevated, they may be qualified to go to the heavenly planets, you know, or get liberation, but they won't go beyond the material because their intent is not beyond that. Does that make sense? Their devotion is only because I have devotion to God, so I get what I want. So they want dharma, artha, kama, or moksha. Even liberation is what I want. Right? Because for Krishna, it's not about liberation. It's about you're on the liberated platform interacting with Him. He's liberated. You want to interact with Him, you're liberated. But it's not about the liberation. So Krishna's not thinking, wow, so great being liberated. You know, so therefore as devotees. So it's an important thing to be able to distinguish that it's just like this microphone. You're using it. Right? So that the use of it is the indirect. That it's about Krishna, that's the direct aspect. So both are mixed. So I use that, and so in using it, I have to put the battery, I have to put the right button, push the right button, I have to put it in the right place. You know, I have to turn the volume and all this, I have to make the adjustments according to the rules. Does that make sense? Otherwise it won't work. So yes, the bhakti part will work whether you do the rules or not. But, you know, the direct, but the indirect won't work without that. So that's why then it's there. If you're engaging the body and mind, that's why the rules are there. Varnashram is there for that. It's the rules, how body and mind work. It's not just your body and mind, how your body and mind interacts with other bodies and minds. Right? So despite the popular thing that we're the center of the universe, we're actually not. You know, don't say it too loudly, you'll get in trouble. Suddenly he'd come in. What do you mean?
Reaching the wrong tools.
Yeah. There are discussions of the process of karma tyag, the giving of the results of karma to the Supreme Godhead, Personality of Godhead, and the practices of mystic yoga and philosophical speculation, which are deprecated as simply hard labor. Right? Because you're doing those things, but just, you don't have to speculate, it's right there. What Krishna and the Acharyas say. You know, the mystic yoga, you just have to engage in service. You don't have to sit down and do all these complicated things. Right? Worship of the demigods is discouraged, and worship of a Vaishnava is considered exalted, or a Vaishnava. Right, so it's discouraged because if you worship the demigod for the benefits, that's discouraged. If you're worshiping the demigod to get love for Krishna, then that's all right. But most people don't do that. So why not worship Krishna? If you happen to bump into the demigod, that's what you're going to ask him, but you won't go out of your way. You know? No respect is given to the non-devotees. Right, except for the platform that they're the soul. But otherwise, how they're engaging their conditioned nature, the indirect, is a waste of time. Because there is only direct and indirect. Karmis, the materialist, always works with the indirect. The pious, there's a touch of the direct, but just a touch. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, generally the most pious means that you're generally more pious ones. Once a week, there's some direct. You know, they go to some service or something like that. You know, or sometimes there's more. There's some kind of things, or before they eat, they say something, or you know, there's here and there. So it's not much, but it's better. You know, so it's progressive. So then, as you deal, then it yeah. So the non-devotees, they're working with Krishna's system, but not in context of Krishna. So those of the Vedic culture, at least they're following that, and they're more pious. But you see, outside the Vedic culture, they don't worry about that. So by karma, good karma, they have the good karma to get facilities, they will follow those rules, inherently. Now, either they themselves have an understanding of it, or they come in contact with people who will tell them how to properly use it, like they say, their father is very successful, he tells them how to run the business or how to deal, and so then they'll get that. They'll get that opportunity. You understand? But it's Krishna's laws. It's not someone else's. You know, so it's not different. It's not the non-devotees. The problem is they're not seeing it in relationship to Krishna. Right? That's the problem. They're doing this. We're doing that. No, we're all doing the same thing. But because it's for Krishna, we're working. And everybody's cooking, but we're cooking for Krishna. They're not cooking for Krishna. So even they're cooking, something vegetarian. But the point is it's not for Krishna. They're using the same techniques and methodologies and the ingredients, but they're not doing it for Krishna, so therefore then there's no respect for that. You know, the technique, you can say, but they know this, not the knowledge is Krishna, the technique is Krishna, the item is Krishna, the method is Krishna. If there's not something else, does that make sense? So we have to understand what actually is the difference between the devotees and the karmis. Or between those who are pious and impious. So you have the impious, the pious, the devotees. So devotee means the pious part is what everybody follows because it's God's laws. The piety is what they do in the spiritual world. Here it comes down here because it's God's creation. Of course it works according to His method. But here you're pious because you follow the law, not because you do it to please God. Is that what it says? So devotee means they do it to please God. So that's the difference. So the direct part is pleasing Krishna. The indirect is just following the law. And then, you know, like you said, there's those who don't follow the law, though they're doing the right thing, they're getting the results, but they don't know why. So as their karma runs out, then you see they start making mistakes. Right? You have the guy who everything he does is perfect, never makes a mistake. He makes so much money or he's so expert in what. And then you see at the end, as his karma's running out, he starts to make very tactical mistakes. And it just gets worse and worse until he's just another guy in the street. Yes, he was the richest guy in the world. He was the most powerful. Yes?
For example, the saint from Abraham Krishna, he doesn't have any knowledge about practice of bhakti. He doesn't know the name of Krishna, he doesn't have opportunity to reach him about Bhagavatam. But if he knows that his main goal is a pure love to God, and he tries to perform his austerities for God's satisfaction, what will be his result? And how we can grow his activity. If you perform austerities and other practices of dhyana, but for satisfaction of
And what background is he from? I didn't catch that.
Abrahamic,
okay. The point is, since it's about that, means you have these scriptures. And if you look at them carefully, you can see here and there it's mentioned about, it's about God. You know, like I mentioned before, the Torah, then you have the Shemas, there's three of them. They're about, at least one of them, the one that I know about, everything's about God. You should always be remembering God no matter what you're doing. That's the whole point about it. So I'm sure that there'll be that in everything. Yes?
Do you think that
while describing here, then I think in the third or the fourth of the adhyayas, we come across Jiva Goswami elaborating on the various sadhana process.
Oh, okay.
There he shows how karma and jnana are included in bhakti.
Hmm.
But they are not independent. Bhakti is the only independent thing, because karma and jnana, the results depend on bhakti.
Hmm.
So, as much as the bhakti element is there, that much the results move.
Results will be there.
And after that, then he elaborates more on akinchana bhakti. Before that, I think the offenses.
Okay.
So, without full understanding of devotional practice, then we are not getting rid of all kinds of offenses.
Mm.
So, still there will be any hindrance to go to the stage of akinchana bhakti.
Mm.
Because it's without proper conception of Lord, then at least you'll come at seva aparad or some kind of aparad to Lord.
Yes.
Without full understanding.
Does that make some sense? So, in other words, that to that degree that the devotion is there, to that degree that aspect is going to work very nicely. And as long as they're following what are the directives of that literature or that practice that they have, and they stick to it nicely, then they get the results of those, you know, that being dutiful and that austerity and all that. So they will progress. But the point is it depends upon what is their concept. Because they may have devotion to God, but what is their idea? Why do they have devotion to God? What's the purpose?
For example, Christians saying they thought that Jesus Christ is a God, and he very loves us, and he gave for us his life, and therefore we also want to give our lives to him and love him.
Okay, yeah, but so it's a reciprocation, it's based on justice. You know, it's a nice reciprocation. But what's the ultimate goal? Okay, we give our life, and then, once we've given our life, then what?
And also they consider that he...
No. Do you understand? Once you've given the life, okay, now what? What's going to happen? I've given my life. Now what? What's going to have happen after that eternally? Huh?
You've given it already.
You do whatever you want. Okay, I gave that one. He gave one, I gave one. Okay, now we're even. You know what I'm saying? So the thing is it's good. You have to understand it's progressive, but you have to see how far are they taking it. Because if you mention love of God, generally speaking, from what I understand, all the Abrahamic Wallahs will appreciate it. But it's not their focus. You know what I'm saying? Just like you see a neophyte devotee. It's about devotion to Krishna. But you see they get so distracted by all the indirect activities and trying to make it all very nice and wonderful. You understand? So in that, because they're connecting Krishna, they'll get purified. They'll move forward. So if they have good association. So the main effect from this, what I can see, is that the effect of this, if that real sincerity is there and they move forward, they will come in contact with more advanced devotees. Because they would be devotees. So, in their particular line, what we would call, you know, a solid devotee, for them, much of the time, is a saint. You know what I'm saying? And some of the times, their saints are very elevated. But as I mentioned, I think there's one, I don't remember his name, but he was in Alexandria. And so he's a Catholic saint, because I think in 300 AD or something, he drove the Jews out of Alexandria and destroyed the library that was there. Because the library was, you know, wasn't the Bible. So he burnt the library and drove the Jews out of Alexandria. And so he was made a saint. So he could be a great political leader or a great strategist. And he used that in service in his context of the Lord. But it's on a very neophyte platform. Does that make sense? You know, and he also, you could say, is the benefit in the Western worlds, he set back of what do you call it? Astronomy 1,000 years. So in other words, what they were developing in Alexandria at the time in astronomy, it took 1,000 years before again it came up and they started to see, oh, you know, so there's many great benefits. But like that, or you have individuals who they themselves are known for, you know, that devotion and all that. But he's not known for devotion. You know, so he's done a great work in the minds of many people. But at the same time, as far as actual devotion goes, he's not the one to look at. You know, generally you'd look at, I think it's St. Teresa, or who's the guy that, you know, is standing on the roof and thinks he's a bird.
Francis.
Yeah, Francis of Assisi. These are generally known, but they're more famous for being devotional. You know, so like that, you could say is, you know, it'd be a very advanced. So the point of this is they'll come in contact with someone more advanced, because otherwise they have that devotion to the Lord, and it may be very consistent, and that's very good. So they have advanced quite a lot, but still getting to the platform of Shuddha Bhakti is farther than that. So they'll get the association of people who can help them go there. Does that make sense? So there's always a benefit. That's why you should avoid thinking that what I'm doing, that's the thing. No, it's pure bhakti, that's the thing. And then whether you're doing or this or that, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is we put it into the secondary, but it's the primary. But we see as those who are most advanced in the primary, they do certain things. So that's why we tend to follow them. But it's not that if you're following something else that it doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But otherwise, you're going to follow it, follow it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. I said, if you're really strict about the Abrahamic, someone's going to end up with a shaved head. It's just a matter of who. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. There are discussions of how one can be liberated even in this life, Jivan Mukta. Right? So even if you're connected to Krishna, you're liberated. So showing how that is and what's the position. Lord Shiva is a devotee rather than just him as a demigod. Right? And how a bhakta and his devotional service are eternally existing. So what is done on the devotional platform that eternally exists. So that's the whole thing that you're trying to develop. It is stated that through bhakti one can attain all success, because bhakti is transcendental to the material qualities. Right? So it's not dependent on bhakti. Right? There is a discussion of how the self is manifest through bhakti. There's also a discussion of the self's bliss, as well as how bhakti, even imperfectly executed, enables one to attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if it's not complete, but it's done according to what it's supposed to be and you're sincerely trying to do, it will bring you to Krishna. Right? So that doesn't mean the imperfect is the problem. No, it's the connection to Krishna. Otherwise you say, oh, see, I don't have to be so serious. This person wasn't perfect. He went back to Krishna, so I don't have to endeavor. He's trying to be perfect, but he may not be. So we can't take the indirect and say, oh, that's my example. The example is how they're taking and connecting to Krishna. That's the example. We have to know what the real example is. Does that make sense? Unmotivated devotional service is highly praised, and an explanation is given of how each devotee can achieve the platform of unmotivated service by association with other devotees. Right? Only through association. There's no such thing as devotional service without association. Right? Because when you get to the platform of prema, it won't be just us and the Lord. It's going to be us, the devotees, and the Lord. So that means the position is devotional, is association devotees. How you get there is association devotees. How you get interested in the process is association devotees. That's what I'm saying. It will, whatever they are, wherever they are, that will bring them to a more more elevated association that they can go farther. So, yeah. There's a discussion of the differences between the Mahabhagavata and the ordinary devotee. The symptoms of philosophical speculation. Because you have to know, what are the symptoms, otherwise it may sound fabulous. Like we'll see in the next class, when we get to logic, how it works, you see that much of what people say has nothing to do with logic, and they're presenting it as if they're very logical, and the general public will accept it as logical, when it has nothing to do with logic. It's very, very far out. So that's why you have to know what are the symptoms of philosophical speculation. The symptoms of self-worship. You know, because, you know, yeah, but the same time, it's not, oh no, we have to be professionals, you know, we have to do this, you know, we're this, we're that. That's self-worship. It's not about, because in that, are they talking about how it pleases Krishna and how to use it in Krishna's service? Are they direct? No, they're only talking in direct. It's taken that direct is automatic. I'm a devotee, and, you know, I'm serving Krishna, so all the indirect is automatic. No, you have to make that decision. You have to try to do that. Then it becomes. And it's not difficulty. Anybody can do it. That's the whole point. That's what he's saying. Even someone's not perfect. It still will work. Is it still too cold? Yeah. You can use a blanket. Oh, the blanket's gone. Okay. Oh, you have it. You're already using it.
Different natures.
Bring a snorkel. You know snorkel? What do you say? In Russian? You know, for underwater? Then you can just put your blanket and then you have the snorkel coming out so you can breathe. Then you won't get cold. Right? Okay, so symptoms of self-worship or ahangropasa, right? The symptoms of devotional service, right? So what is devotional? You can see what's that there. The symptoms of imaginary perfection. The acceptance of regulative principles. Service to the spiritual master, the Mahabhagavat, liberated devotee, and service to him. Okay, service of the spiritual master, then the Mahabhagavat, and service to him. Service to Vaishnava, because here it says spiritual master, because the Mahabhagavat is liberated, and anybody is liberated and connecting to Krishna. So in that way, all devotees are, but at the same time, there's the one that is practically liberated. It's consistent. Right? Service to Vaishnavas in general, the principles of hearing, chanting, remembering, and serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offenses in worship, offensive effects, you know, what do you get for your offense? Prayers, engaging oneself as an eternal servant of the Lord. Making friendships with the Lord and surrendering everything for his pleasure. Very interesting how Prabhupada is saying all this. Offensive effects. Offenses in worship, offensive effects. So those are within the, you know, archana. Is how nicely Prabhupada says it, and that's the practical approach. There is also a discussion of Raghunuga Bhakti, spontaneous love of Godhead, of the specific purpose of becoming a devotee of Lord Krishna, and a comparative study of other perfectional stages. Okay, so that's. Yes, means that's an overview, you could say, of what's in the. In the Bhakti Sandarbha. Yeah, so Prabhupada's given like that for each one.
Each one in one Bhagavad Gita.
Quarter two, and then we have a break from quarter two and to eight till eight, and then eight to nine, then we'll do the Nyaya Sutras. Is that okay? You good?
Sure. After just.
Okay. Yeah. How do you say? Sorry if there's no, how you say, you know, when you get into the pool, you get into the shallow end and slowly go in and just kind of jumped into the other end off of the high board. So,
you make your own destiny.
Yeah. Okay. Outline of Bhakti Sandarbha. Srila Jiva Goswami is elaborately discussed on Sambandha Gyan in the first four Sandarbhas. In those, the first four Siddharthas, that supreme principle endowed with the complete eternal supreme bliss was described by the designations Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, which are factors in those relationships. And the highest manifestation was said to be Bhagavan, right? Because Brahman and Paramatma are factors in the relationship. It means you're in a certain situation, so that situation is Krishna. You see Krishna in it. Now, so that's Brahman aspect. You see how it's to be engaged, what's the mechanics of it, because Krishna is the controller of his energy. That's the Paramatma aspect. But then Bhagavan is seeing how it's going to please Krishna by engaging it. Does that make sense? And the highest method, in relation to that, forms like Vishnu and Kumaras are discussed, and the highest form of Bhagavan was concluded to be Krishna. Bhaktisandarbha Anucheda 1. Next, the method of attainment of the Supreme Lord, Abhideya, and the final goal of the devotee, Prayojana, need to be discussed. The actions will be performed, Abhideya, or to be performed, are actions producing favorableness to the Lord, since that is the opposite of the jiva's aversion to the Lord. Right? So what's favorable to the Lord, that's what's progressive. So on any platform, on whether it's on the understanding of the environment, the working with the environment, or the actual ultimate goal of the environment. All three of those, seen in the context of Krishna, will take you forward. Right? It will bring you forward. So that's the whole idea. That's why that's the path of Krishna. What's not favorable to Krishna on any of those three levels, that takes you away. That's the impiety. Right? So, yeah. So that's the idea. So that's why you can have people that are Bahir Mukh, their back is to Krishna, but they're following God's laws and seeing the environment. So they're going towards Krishna, you know, backwards. You know, I guess that's represented by the moon log. Looks like you're going forward, but you're going backwards. It means they're progressing in the direction of Krishna, but their back's to Krishna.
People always say that pious, for example, Indians or whatever, not necessarily only them, they are following his laws. I mean, they're close to Krishna, but they're facing away from him. So
yes.
They're going in a different direction. Not
No.
We say that everybody is going towards Krishna.
Because you can have people that have back to Krishna and are going away from Krishna.
That's what I thought that
means. No. It means that Bahir Mukh means your face is not towards Krishna. So you're following his rules and laws only because of the benefits you'll gain from them. So your back is still to Krishna, though you're moving, you know, forward on Krishna's path. Because you're moving to a more elevated position.
Oh, this.
Yes.
I always took it in comparison to Krishna consciousness, how much you're advancing.
Oh, that's because we're looking at it that within we're talking that. Because when you're facing Krishna, you're going just like Prabhupada was mentioning. The point is that, let's say, like the Western devotees, you know, at that time, he says they're facing Krishna, but they're very far away from Krishna because they have no idea of the creation, how it's connected to Krishna, how to use it. They don't know Varnashram. You know, I mean, just by culture, they're Malechas and Yamanas. So they're very far away, but they're facing Krishna. So in their progression towards Krishna, it's actually, they're continuing that and developing that facing Krishna. So that's why it develops more and more. But let's say he said the Indians, they're very close to Krishna, but they have to back to Krishna.
That's what I said. That's what I always understood.
No, but then the natural thing is with time, once they get to the limit, they'll go back again. So depending on what they want. If they only want money in that, then they became rich, then they'll start to go back. They want the heavenly planets, then they'll go back. They want liberation, they'll go back. But they're still moving, because Krishna says there's one path. There's him at one end, and there's hell at the other end. You know? Does that make sense? Yes, I say we're taking the path back to Godhead. The karmis are taking the highway to hell. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, so it's everybody's... No.
Yeah, previously described, Srila Vithu Goswami says about karma and jnana being included and being part of bhakti.
Yes.
it is already included. Whatever the results, the good results that are offered, that's already there in Bhakti. So anybody who is at any level in karma and jnana, like those who are following the Vedic culture and all, that's an inclusive aspect of Bhakti. Mm-hmm. So somebody who is beginning the Bhakti process, because Bhakti is independent, they can move ahead. But karma is and jnana is, they may have that aspect, but whatever is not there is not there. Unless you take up Bhakti, you will never get there.
No. Is it connected to this or?
Yes.
Yes.
I was listening to the lecture of Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj on Prabhupada Parshita Bhakti. And he said that for devotees, if they attracted by Apara Vidya, they feel more dangerous than to just enjoy the senses.
It means the danger, what he's saying, is that those who are distracted by aparavidya, it's more dangerous than if they're following, they're just doing nonsense. You have that aspect, yes, because the problem is because of this overlap that we just mentioned. Bhakti already includes karma and jnana, so all the activities we call pious are already within bhakti. But when you do those activities without bhakti, it's called karma or jnana. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're cooking, right? And let's say we have a recipe, and we're cooking it. We're cooking it for Krishna, right? We call it bhakti. But the technique of cooking is going on. Now let's say you have another person. They're cooking exactly the same preparation. Same recipe, same technique, everything. But what do you call that? You call it bhakti? No. You call it karma. You understand? Or, let's say the devotee, he's analyzing something in Sanskrit and that, the Gita verses and all those, and what's the grammar and this and that, which verse, which sutras is developing and all that. But he's seeing it in the context of Krishna. That's called bhakti. But someone else is seeing the exact same thing, but not for a devotional service. It's called jnana. So bhakti already includes us. So whatever we call pious, it's already in bhakti. But bhakti is still independent from that. Bhakti is still independent from the technique. Because it's a devotion, it's love. That's independent. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty, isn't it?
Also, the difficulty in accepting this is that how such a simple process, apparently simple process, can contain all the results of this. As we come across in Nyaya Sutras, the most important thing in jnana or in karma is the final result or the conclusions. So the conclusive knowledge that we gain from, or the siddhanta we gain from jnana is already realized by a bhakta, even though it's simple.
Yes.
And whatever is the best results by karma, which is finally moksha, devotee is already situated on that platform. So that makes it very clear.
Yeah. So I get it? So the overlap is the problem. So that's where the confusion comes. Because generally people go, there's sin and there's bhakti. But actually there's sin, there's piety, and there's bhakti. Bhakti already includes piety. But from sinful to pious, that's still within Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. You know what I'm saying? But bhakti already includes those. So that point there, the danger comes is people think because they're studying astrology or astronomy or Sanskrit that it's devotional. No, it's just pious. And so, because the sinful activity, people know it's sinful. The karmis know, you know, everybody knows, right? But the aparavidyas, you think it's spiritual when it's not. It's the best tool. It's just like, let's say, from before, I have some very, wonderful, top-grade cooking pan. you know, it cost me, you know, 250 euros. You know? Yeah, you get stuff like that. It's ridiculous. Isn't it? And I have the one that I got for 10 euros. You know, pure aluminum, don't drop it, it'll have a dent. Right?
You got on sale.
You got on sale. That was the whole thing. Yeah. So, you understand? So, the whole point is, what did we get of it? What was that? It was an example. For some, you get distracted by the example. Because, oh, that's what we do. Oh, well, here and here. It's called drishtanta. There's something you're trying to get across. You use the example. Before it was thinking that the drishtanta meant the example, you know, the udaharana. But it's the example. No, it's what you're trying to establish through the example. So that's why the example can change for the people it is, but the concept that they understand is the same. So what were we talking about? Why the fancy? Yeah, it was about the pious, the impious. Okay, yeah, maybe like that. So let us just take it that the quality of the one is so much better, and the quality of the other is not. So the better pan is more pious. The lesser one is less pious. It'll give you a better material result, the other will give you a lesser material result. Unless you like things sticking on the pan and burning. Then the one other one gives you a fabulous result. But if your idea is it doesn't stick, you know. Like one day I was in the temple in Europe, and there are a bunch of brahmacharis cooking. And, you know, they're the ones that are always on the road. And they come back to the temple for a little time and some festival or that, and then they go out again. So you understand their level of cooking. So, the pan is on the fire. The pan has been on the fire empty. The guys are spacing me out. Then somebody notices it, picks up a clump of something, and puts it in the pan. No oil or ghee. Then they run off, you know, crazy, doing this, that, and then they forget about it in the pan, and they come and they turn it and flip it and turn it over. One, it didn't stick. It was perfectly cooked. So I knew that it wasn't, he's a great cook. I simply asked, what is that pan?
That's Europe.
Yeah, that's the 250 euro pan.
Somebody donated to the temple.
Yeah, it must have been. And then I asked, okay, how long have you had the pan? They said, 5 years. And I said, I got to get one of those pans. So I went out and bought a whole bunch of those pans.
Hmm? You should have taken that one.
Brought the new one, give it to them, take the old one. Yeah, it's better quality, right? Yeah. So that's what the pious activities are. So we take it that because we're so conditioned in the material that the better the environment, the better the endeavor, the better the external results, that's better. But no, it's about Krishna being pleased, that's better. So naturally, Yoga Maya arranges the best things for Krishna. Since it's all Krishna, why you would have... Here, it's inferior items simply because people's consciousness are inferior, so they're giving less and less quality of Krishna's energy to deal with. In the spiritual world, they deal with the best energy. So there is only good stuff. I mean, Mother Jashoda's pots are only good. She doesn't have a few aluminum ones when they're doing a special festival. She has to drag out, you know, like that, and knock a few dents out of it, and, you know, and then put it on the fire.
I was going to this Prashna Viveka. There, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes a point about Jaimini's Apurvata Mimamsa philosophy. He connected with Comte's philosophy. He says, everybody discusses about selfish material desires, and then the unselfish material desires or material activities is what actually brought up by Jaimini. And then, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's very intelligent that he knows people naturally, that bhakti is inherent. That's why he added the concept of Supreme Lord, by saying there is something called as unselfish material desires, and doing that is good. That is what is basically pious activity. But because people naturally has their bhakti to Lord, then he connected the both.
So he tricked the people.
He tricked the people to doing bhakti, whereas Comte didn't do that. That's why his philosophy is not accepted by many, and Jaimini is the most universal.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And you see, as those who are following these Jainani, which means most people, the Karmis, that if they're pious, then it's very easy for them to invite you to their place, you do a program, you teach philosophy, they take up devotional service.
But ultimately, that's because there is nothing called unselfish material activities.
Yes. Yes.
So they're all selfish.
Yes, ultimately, yes. See, so that overlap is the problem. Okay? So, devotees think it's spiritual. They think because they got into Ayurveda, it's spiritual. No, it's just pious material. That's the difference. While if they're out doing some nonsense, you know, then they know it's not good. So that's why it's... But as far as the position that you're engaging Ayurveda in Krishna's service, that's better than, you know, just some nonsense. But unless you understand that unless the devotion's added, it doesn't become real, then the maximum you can do is get you to, you know, karma will get you to a more elevated material position.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai.